What's everybody doing?
Good. All right. We don't want it to be the other way around. God's good until I came to church. That's not. I have to switch some things around. I'm going to talk about communication today. I'm actually going to do a three-part series on communication and just kind of learning communication. Being better communicators. And why that's really important and why, especially in this group of people and in our lives and in our relationships and in our whatever, workplace, how key communication is, being able to communicate, being able to be understood and heard. And I recently got a new truck, and it was newer before I let Tim drive it. Just kidding. Not really, no, I'm not kidding. Anyway, one of the things hit me one day, I was driving down the road, and if you have any sort of, or been in any kind of newer car, you realize that there's like an endless amount of information coming at you from the dashboard these days. It's got like a 10-inch screen over here, and then it's got all this stuff, another little screen that you can cycle through things. And I mean, there's useful information there, like how fast you're going and how much gas you have and stuff. But then it kind of progressively gets more useless as the information goes, you know. And it's kind of funny when you go to buy a truck and you're like, oh, that's really cool. And you realize there's no practical application for that information. And you realize it was really cool when you bought it. But then it's like, I don't really get why it tells me that. But anyway, there's all kinds of funny things that my truck tells me. One of the really neat things actually that it does is pretty cool, is when anything happens, like when it needs a new oil change, like it keeps track of your oil change, it sends me a text. It tells me your truck needs oil change. I had a low tire the other day. I wasn't driving my truck, Shannon was actually driving it. And well, it was like a month ago. And my truck sent me a text. It said that the tire was low. So I texted Shannon, what are you doing to my truck? The tire is low. And then it'll send me an email every month sending me a report, a driving report. Yeah, I just delete that really fast. I don't want that. It'll tell you like how many times you had a, what does it call it? Well, how many times you brake too fast or accelerate too fast. Yeah, I was like, I don't remember that. It'll tell you like, yeah, it's pretty interesting. Record. So some information you just don't want. You're like, that's not useful. It doesn't park itself. No. No, it doesn't. But it does have a camera, so it'll, apparently that doesn't help. If you're from New Zealand. Yes, two. Yeah. Hey, Dave, it's my turn. I have the mic. You had the mic before. It's my turn. You just take it easy. Yeah, you gotta look at all the dents in my new truck. No, Dave's referring to me in the parking lot down here smashing into Dixon's car about 2 weeks after my truck. Right? And yeah, anyway. Totally, in full view of the camera, thinking like, huh, that car just really snuck up on me. Yeah, anyway. You guys are distracting me. Where am I going? Okay. So information is just right there at our fingertips. And, I mean, we're in this information age of just a bottomless pit of some of it being useful, some of it being... Sorry, I have a bug buzzing me. Completely useless information. How many of you guys have a smartphone in your pocket? Is it on vibrate? Okay, good. Just anywhere we want. We're in this season of this time in history where we don't have to wonder anymore. it's really quite interesting. Like every once, you know, when you're just sitting around talking, someone will ask a question like, oh, I wonder what that is, or I wonder what that is. And you're like, oh, you don't have to do that anymore. And you just talk to your phone and it talks back to you and tells you what you were wondering just a few seconds ago. Now we know. And we were sitting around just a couple of days ago talking about populations of different places. And like, oh, I wonder how many, it seems big. I wonder how it compares to Reading or how it compares. We don't have to wonder. We actually can get on there and you can talk to your phone, depending on the style of your phone. And it'll tell you what the population of most places. And there's all kinds of stuff, all kinds of information that's coming at us. The funny challenge is that oftentimes the information we really need, the information we really want, we actually is the hardest to get. It's actually the information. We can find all kinds of useless facts, but the information we need about the people, or that we want about the people that are closest to us, or the information that we want to get out about us to other people, being known is what we call it, is sometimes the hardest to get across. And that's why we're going to do this. That's why we're going to focus on this for a few weeks, three weeks probably, is that it's so important to be known and be loved and to love others. And love has to be communicated. It's not love if it's not communicated. If it's not transferred from in here to out there and out there to in here. And love is something that we feel, but it's also something that we do, and it's something that we communicate. And so we're going to talk a lot about and refer to communication. And when we think about communication, we do think a lot about talking. We think a lot about the process that I'm in right now, communicating to you a message. But we want to think of communication as something a lot broader, in that really it's sending and receiving information in any style, any way. And we're going to cover a bunch of that. We're going to cover how we're influenced and how we got to prepare and how we can build a foundation that we communicate from that actually helps us communicate what we're trying to communicate. It's super frustrating to be misunderstood, misinterpreted, not feel known. And everybody feels that at some point or another. And if we can know ourselves and know how we're experienced and know how we're communicating, we can do better at understanding others and making sure that the message that we're trying to communicate gets across. Sound good? So basically, we're thinking of communication as just sending and receiving information. And it doesn't exclude anything. It's all communication. Everything from the words that I'm using to body language to which is face-to-face personal communication. But of course, now we have so much more. It used to be, you know, in person or on the phone. And now we've got, you know, social media. We've got texting. We've got news. We've got, yeah, video stuff. We've got all kinds of ways to communicate. And so it includes all of that. And all of that is kind of wrapped up into this idea of being a good communicator. And what I've realized, I've actually been taught on this a couple times, and I've taught this actually the same class at the school, or the same teaching, a version of it. And kind of just getting feedback and stuff, I realized there's kind of like two different groups of people. One being people that actually already think they're a great communicator. And like, I got it. I communicate really well. And, you know, really, I'm a great communicator, but it's just everybody around me just stinks at listening. And what we want to get in our head is that there's always room to grow. There's always room to learn. There's always every person is different. Everybody we try to communicate with is different. And so in communication, it's important that we include sending and receiving. So when we talk about the word communication, we're talking about, I'm really just sending. I'm not receiving a whole bunch from you guys. It's just the way this format is set up. So really all I can receive is whether or not you're awake. I can usually see that, catch that. Whether or not you shake your head or nod your head, you don't necessarily always think that I see that. But I usually oftentimes do, unless you're over here and I'm looking this way. So I'm receiving some things from you, but this is majority sending. But in a normal just back and forth communication, there should be an even amount of sending and receiving. So we're talking about and including both of those things. And I'm sure you guys know how difficult and challenging it can be sometimes to teach somebody something they believe they already know. And so if you think that you are an amazing communicator, then I applaud you. That's fantastic. Crack open a little bit, just for a little bit more room to grow in a way. And then there's actually a whole group of people that I've realized that just believe that they can't communicate. They just believe, I just can't do it. I've failed at it for my entire life. Nobody understands me. I don't really understand anybody else. And it's just as challenging to try and teach somebody something they don't believe they can learn. I just can't grow, and I just can't. This is the state that I'm in, to be always misunderstood, to be always misunderstanding, to be always feel, and that feeling is connected to, or that makes you feel left out and devalued and misunderstood. And so that's a challenge too. And if that's you, or you're on any one of those, anywhere in between, I just want to encourage you that everyone communicates, and everyone needs to improve. No matter what side of that, or do you think you're a wonderful communicator and everybody else is just a horrible listener, or whether you think you're just a horrible at everything and or somewhere in between, we're all trying to communicate. Even the lack of communication is communication. Even saying nothing at all is sometimes really, really powerful. And so we're all communicating something. Most of us, a whole bunch of things all at the same time. And we all need to grow and learn. So that we need to get in that kind of mindset that we're learning this together and that we're doing this together. Are you guys all right with that? We've got to get some hope of the possibility of improvement. When we get that hope in there, it creates like this little place to put information to process. And that's what we want to do. Proverbs 12 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Proverbs 15 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." It's funny, I have this little spot in my notes. Well, it's like a little signal. It means make a decision, and I thought I'd have a decision by the time I got there. Yeah. I got a coin. Yeah, I do. I still don't. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, over the next few, I think we're going to split this into 3 weeks. That's kind of what I was trying to decide, is organizing in my head. What am I going to include this morning? But I think we'll probably split it into 3 weeks, possibly 4 weeks. And we're going to talk about stuff that you've heard me talk about before. Like I just mentioned, sending and receiving. We're going to talk about how our emotion, our feelings affect the way we communicate, how important it is. We're going to talk about code books. You guys remember talking about code books before? Yes and no? Some of you guys do? Well, cool. If you all were like, "Yeah, we totally remember that," then I wouldn't need to teach on it again. So good. We're going to talk about culture and how much culture affects the way we communicate. And basically all these things. But what I want to talk about today is, I mentioned it earlier, is foundation. It's the foundation that we communicate from, and we build a foundation by grabbing hold of goals. So our goals are what position us and motivate us to get or to choose a direction, and we push off, if I'm trying to create kind of a mental picture, we push off from a foundation. And so I'm going to give you guys, I think I have four of them, four different kind of things to grab a hold of that will help us all be a healthy communicator. So Jesus said that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is that from inside our communication, he was referring directly to what comes out of our mouth. But really, it is a broader statement that what's in here comes out no matter what you're communicating. It comes out in your body language, it comes out in your tone of voice, it comes out in the words you choose. And so if we can try to change what comes out of our mouth, like we can learn actually how to be articulate and communicate well, but still be misunderstood, even when we're using all the right words. Have you guys ever had the experience where you feel like you say exactly what you meant, but someone doesn't hear exactly what you say? They hear what they thought that you said. And actually, we don't even hear what we think people say. We hear what we think we thought that they meant to say. So like we actually interpret it twice, right? So we interpret the words that they're using and we try to figure out what we thought that they were saying. And then we apply to it what we think they're thinking. And then we combine that and then we interpret it into what we actually heard them say. And unfortunately, most of us don't even know that we do that. And so we actually process information that way, communication that way, and then we turn around and we go, no, this is what you said. And you're like, I didn't say that at all. I didn't even mean that. But how do we get there? Well, it's what I heard. It's what I heard you say. And how many of you guys have ever been told what you meant? I know what you meant. How do you know what I meant? Right? This is like a ridiculous thing to say. Like, I know exactly what you meant. Actually, I don't even know what I meant. Most of the time, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. So there's no way that you know what I was trying to say. And we're going to talk about that a lot more in code books later on. But one of the things we can do is position ourselves to be in the right place no matter what the words we use. And we can mess up. And how many of you guys know you can mess all the words up and still communicate what you meant to say? Right? You can say all the wrong things and people can still feel loved. Because why? Out of the overflow of the heart. You know, people can get caught up on words. That can happen too. But oftentimes you can say all the wrong things. You can do all the wrong things. And people still go, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I feel loved. I feel seen. I feel cared for. Right? So you're communicating over and above what you're even saying. And that comes from the place that you're coming from. It comes from this foundation of having. And so what I'm going to do, I want to talk a little bit about how we keep that foundation, how we grab a hold of it and how we invest in it. Healthy goals set a direction and motivation for all of our interactions. One of the ways to kind of check and see where you are as we go through this is the did I or am I question. Did I, and I'll give you what is going to fill in that, like did I, we're going to talk about owning our sending and receiving messages, actually owning and grabbing a hold of them. And knowing what's you and what's them. And so you can ask yourselves, am I doing that? Or did I do that? Did I, when I just had that interaction, it doesn't feel good or it felt great. So you can kind of hold on to that. Did I, which is in the past, did I do this? Did I do this? Did I do that? Did I do that? Am I giving you those things? Or am I doing those things? Am I doing that right now? Am I? And we'll get into it. So the first one, like I said, is owning what you're sending and then work on what you're receiving. Work to understand what you're receiving. It's really hard to learn and communicate correctly or to send. We're going to talk about the sending part correctly. If you don't have ownership of it, if you don't own it. And what do I mean by that is, oftentimes that's coupled with you trying to own what other people are sending as well. And it comes from, you can recognize it in a couple different ways, but one of them is what I was saying before. I know what you are thinking. That's a sign that you're trying to own what someone else is saying instead of them owning that. Right? The correct thing is either I think, we're going to get into that communication more, but like I think this is what you're saying. We're actually going to talk about active, different styles of listening and that kind of thing too, but you feedback, like, I think what you're saying is this. Or like, wow, what you're saying right now feels really angry. Feels like. But we have to own what we're sending as well. So when we send a message, if you think of I was going to say DVD player, but we're getting into like Blu-ray players now. So Blu-ray, you think of your Blu-ray player, you put in now we're totally digital. When you get into, put your Blu-ray disc into the player, and you turn on your TV, if you can, magically get all the things, equipment synced up so actually it's happening, you don't have to call your kids or your grandkids to come in and fix it for you. like, I put in this movie and all I'm watching is the news. What's going on? But you know that you have the right movie in the player, and you know is because you're receiving something, right? You know you sent the right thing. You know that your DVD player, your Blu-ray player, whatever machine it is, plug your phone in or whatever it is you're watching, you know you're sending the right message because you're seeing it on the screen. And if you don't see what you're sending, right, if you're not getting it back, if you're not seeing like I put this movie in and now I'm seeing that movie on the screen, something is wrong. And it's easy to understand, well, we sometimes blame all the equipment, but sometimes really you just aren't doing it right. Like you're just not sending the right message. Own the sending. Own the part, like figure out what it is and resend it and resend it and resend it until you see the right message. And people are just like that. Check in. Am I sending the right message? We're really, this whole thing is about sending and receiving love. It's really the basis of everything that we do and everything that we are. And if the people around us, right, if we think we love the people around us really well, but none of them on their TV screen are reflecting love, and you're like, that's not my fault, it's going to be really hard to move on into all the other things that we're going to learn because there's no ownership of sending a message. Right? There's like, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. There's not like you're not listening to me. There's a whole million excuses of why I'm not seeing what I'm putting out there. But I want to challenge us, all of us, that it has to start with owning what we're sending. Even if we think we're doing awesome. Even if you are doing awesome. Even if you're doing great. But maybe the people that are listening to you, they don't speak that language. Whether it's an actual different language or what. How many of you guys know that like the word love does not mean love to everybody? Right? If you were growing up your whole life and the person that was taking care of you and told you every day that they loved you also every night was molesting you, how many of you guys know when someone says, I love you, it doesn't mean what someone else might be saying? Right? You got a trigger. We call that a trigger. There's a bug landing on my nose. Right? You got a trigger. Now this is just one word. This is one word. Right, how are you going to know that? Now, that's not the sender's fault, but the sender can own it and realize, like, I'm saying the word love, but you're not hearing the word love. What can I do? How can I shift? How can I own that? How can I change? Because I want what's in here to get into there. I want what's in here to get out there. And the word love isn't doing it. So how do we do it? How do we figure it out, right? But it won't come if there's no ownership. What happens is, well, I'm saying it, so just get over all the garbage you have and let's go. This doesn't work. And so we got to start with ownership. Are you guys with me? Okay. I'm responsible for what I communicate. Matthew 5:37. You throw a verse in there, just make you all feel better. Let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. There's a whole bunch in that verse in either directions, but the point being is that own whatever message you're sending. Fully own whatever message you're sending. Whether it's a yes or a no, whether it's whatever it is, own it and then keep sending it and keep trying different things. And I'm going to talk about all the ways you do that. Different strategies of sending a message and then different strategies of receiving a message so people know that they're doing the right thing, right? Okay. So that's number one, owning. Number two is operate with the fruit of self-control is one of my favorites. Operate with the fruit of self-control evident in your life. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That there's actually evidence that the Spirit of God has influence in your life. There should be fruit on the fruit tree. And the fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians 5:22. One of those evidences that the Spirit, that you're influenced and the fruit of the Spirit is hanging on your branches, so to speak, is the ability to control yourself. Now, the Spirit doesn't control you. Unfortunately, that would be way easier if you were like, Jesus, come into my life, and then everything was perfect because you were under the control of the Spirit. But that's not the case. What the Spirit does, what the Holy Spirit does, is actually give you the freedom and power to control yourself. God, it's way more difficult. But it's real. And in communication, one of the foundations of communication is actually believing, and this is connected to ownership, but actually believing that you have the power and the freedom to control yourself. In all communication. That nobody can actually take control. You can give it away all day long. You can give your control away. You can give it away to your kids. You can give it away to your coworkers. You can give it away to your boss. You can give control to anybody you want to. But really, where it's supposed to lie and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life is that you actually maintain the power and the freedom to control yourself. And you know what happens when you are around people that communicate with the fruit, the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in their life? There's something that happens. It's a feeling. You guys know what it is? Exactly. Yes, Maggie. Put a gold star next to Maggie's name. Yeah, it's safety. They're safe people. Right? There's this foundation that they're standing on that you know that, like, oh, they own and they control themselves. They have the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. I've seen it. They make you feel safe. When you're safe, you can listen. You can listen. You actually receive, because intimacy is very famous from Danny. Into me, you see. Like, when I feel safe, I can actually open up and I can let what you're trying to say, what I think what you're trying to say, I can let it in and actually affect me. When I don't feel safe, boom, the wall goes up, the gate goes closed, and the turrets come out. And you're like banging on the castle wall and I'm shooting at you. I'm in full defense mode. I'm defending the castle because I am not safe, because you are out of control. You're out of control with your words. You're out of control with your actions. You're out of control with the way you treat me. There's a million ways that we lose control, right? And on top of that, you're not owning everything you say. So I have no hope that you will gain control at any point, anytime soon. So we're keeping the doors locked, the walls up, and the guns firing. Anytime you come close, we give a few warning shots, but then they start hitting flesh, right? Pow, pow, pow. And it just makes, right? It just makes it all worse. You guys are getting this picture, I'm saying. So, the fruit of self-control is so important. And we maintain this belief system that says, I have the freedom to tell myself what to do and I can make myself do it. Again, like going back to the am I or did I? Did I control myself well in that last interaction? Am I controlling myself now? Am I doing that? Am I controlling myself? Am I saying what it is that I want to say? How many of you guys have ever left a heated conversation or confrontation and you think, that was perfect? I did perfect. No, usually not. Usually if it gets heated and we get, you can go through the list of the things like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Or I wish I would have said that a little different. Or I wish, like, we practice, when we get practicing self-control, we get better at it. And like I said, we all need to grow, but we get better at it. Where eventually you get to the place where you're like, I did pretty good. There's like 10 things in my head that I never said. I controlled myself. I wanted to say this or do this or whatever, but I didn't. I'm getting better. That's the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. It's happening. I'm doing it. Okay, it's good. I still got work to do. You're still, I shouldn't have said that. You know, there's all this stuff to work on, but it's growing. Are you with me? So there's this really strong foundational belief that I have the freedom to tell myself what to do and actually make myself do it in the moment. I don't have to constantly live in regret of what I just communicated. Now, of course, we're talking about most of the time in conflict is when we lose track of that. But all around, Okay. Number three is to seek a win-win solution. And we've probably most of us have heard that phrase, like, oh, it's a win-win thing. It can kind of maybe feel a little cheesy, compromise and that kind of thing. But there's actually, of every communication, of every, really we're talking about, again, in conflict, which is when there's weight put on the structure, the foundation takes, the integrity of the foundation is brought into question. And so conflict is when pressure is put on the foundation. And so that's why we're talking about it in this context. But seeking a win-win, it is exactly what it is. That in a conflict, and while something is happening, and in our communication, I'm thinking in my head, I want both of us to win. That doesn't mean we will agree. That doesn't mean we both get everything we want. But we both need to win in this communication. We both need to come out winning. So how do I do that? And so that foundation thing, and we're going to talk about that later, but the idea is getting it in our head that that's what we're trying to do. That's foundational, that we go into this situation, whatever it is, and in my mind, in my heart, I'm constantly thinking, I want you to win. It's easier to think that I want to win. We're going to talk about, actually, there's a version of that too, but that I want you to win. I want me to win and I want you to win. That changes the way you communicate, if that is in your heart. There's three other things, that ways that we actually communicate. There is win-lose. We go into an actual, into any kind of conflict, and we are positioned to win, and we will position you to lose. And we'll talk that way. Our words will come from that place where I'm going to do anything I can to actually destroy you, because no matter how low I am, I still want to make sure that I win and you lose. So think about, we were talking about goals. If going into a conversation and your goal is actually for them to lose and you to win, nothing's going to come out good. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's where you're coming from. We got to grab a hold of that. Again, going back to, am I doing that? Do I want them to lose and me to win? Is that a core belief that I have going into this situation, whatever it is, going into this conflict, going into this conversation? The third one is lose-lose. That actually, basically lose-lose looks like sabotage. Like I'm just gonna blow this whole thing up because I feel horrible about whatever's going on, and so I'm going to make sure you feel horrible. It's the opposite of win-win. Like I'm gonna make sure we're lower when we get done than we are right now. And then the last one is actually lose-win. So I'm actually going to throw myself on the ground. I'm actually going to self-sacrifice. And unfortunately, this is the holy communication. It's like, oh, no, you go ahead. Just step on my face. Stand on my hand. I'll be a doormat and you just walk over the top of me because that's the right thing to do. And unfortunately, we think we can handle it one thing at a time, but those stack up. And also, unfortunately, the people in our lives that we let do that, they never learn how to win-win. They get comfortable with win-lose. Like, cool, if you're just going to give up. Right? What happens when a really unsafe person, go back to the castle wall, a really unsafe person is banging on the door, and all of everything's secure because we don't feel safe, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, in order to communicate well, in order to love well, I've got to lose and I've got to let you win. What happens? The gates go open and a really scary person comes in and starts breaking everything. And so really what happens is you just move the gates back. And you go, well, we're going to let them into the courtyard. That'll be enough and they'll be okay in the courtyard, and I'll just go into the inside part. But then they find that door eventually, and they start banging on it again, and you're like, I'm used to losing, and so I'm just going to let them into that, and I'll just go into my bedroom. But eventually they get into that room and then you're in the closet. And you're like in this little closet and the doors are really locked tight. And what happens? It's lonely, it's dark, it's scary, and you're miserable. And I don't know how I got here, but I'm here alone in my closet. It's like, yeah, because you let like 45 dangerous people destroy your whole castle. And at that point, they come to counseling. Look at all these people ruining my life. This is your castle. Why are you going to leave the doors open? These people are dangerous. You got to start. Right? And then we just try to encourage people to start taking some ground back. First, start with your bedroom. Take that back part. Then your living room and your, you guys, boundaries, right? Start talking about boundaries. Anyways, I got off a little bit, but you guys get what I'm saying? We were talking about win-win. But anyway, win-win solutions. So positioning and making sure at the foundation, in all communication, we're seeking a win-win solution. Number four, and this is a challenging one, but it's super important. Number four says that we need to value connection over content. Which basically means that I care more about the relationship and the connection than I do about convincing or being right. Sometimes it's feeling right. All right, someone that is steadfast in convincing you that they're right, that is usually rooted in a win-lose situation. I will only be satisfied with this communication when you agree that you're wrong and I'm right. Right? And so a lose-win person will eventually just go, fine. Fine. Do it your way. Or fine, whatever. And that person just backs down. All right? So there's this foundational core value to all of our communication has to be that I value connection and relationship over being right. Over what I'm communicating. Over my point. Over that feeling right and winning. I value the connection. I value the relationship over the feeling of being right. And it makes sense, but it oftentimes is more challenging than me just saying it and going, yeah, that's a great idea. Because it's really hard not to be right. Or it's really hard to lay down your agenda, especially for someone who specifically at that moment doesn't agree. It's really challenging. We had some of this amongst friends and family very recently when a certain President Trump took office. It was alive and well. How many people can do that? Where we can value connection and relationship over political views, over what I believe to be right and wrong. And not just something little like, what are we going to have for dinner? But something big, like ruining the world or not ruining the world. That's how powerful of a stance we have. And unfortunately, a lot of people never learn this. It's not in their communication. It's not in their foundation. And so thousands of relationships were broken simply because of that. See, we talk about communication and we think, oh, communication, this is kind of a teaching. This is, you know, a church thing, whatever. I'm telling you, everything wraps around our ability to be healthy communicators. Revival will come through our ability to be healthy communicators or stop. Like, it's how we connect, how we value each other, how we receive and send information. Like, it's so important. And we're talking about little skills that will help you no matter what. But this is so pivotal to have kingdom, foundational, core values that we're communicating from. Because when we don't, and we get into tense situations, God doesn't win. We don't win. Kingdom doesn't win. And all of a sudden we're sitting back going, what happened? How do we get here? What happened? Oh, is this something as simple as that? You guys get what I'm saying? And it just came so much on as I was reading through this. I was like, man, there's so many things in our little day-to-day stuff, but then it goes all the way up to big stuff. And then understand that you'll always protect what you value most. And so having your values, so we're talking about core values, foundational things, having your values in order. And when I mean order, it means that I've actually assigned them to be most valuable. So for this one, for instance, is if I assign connection and relationship in my heart to be more valuable than proving my point, you will always protect what you believe to be more valuable. Now, you can say that for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and at the point when it's actually, you will always protect what's more valuable. Always. You'll always protect what's more valuable. And so you want to know what you think is more valuable is run through the scenario in your head. What would I do if this? How does my heart feel when that happens? Do it small scale. Learn yourself. Does that make sense? You're always going to protect what's more valuable. You're always going to protect what you decide has the most value in your life. Oh, good. We're going to stop right there. But I have a kind of a cool announcement. Not kind of a cool, very cool announcement. I'm going to practice my communication. And you're going to practice. If you haven't been listening, now's a great time. About 3 months ago, I connected with a gal who some of you guys know. She actually spoke at the women's retreat last year. Was that last year? Yeah. Jordan Pacilio. And she runs a ministry out of Bethel called Global Response. And Global Response, I've talked about it here a little bit before. It's a disaster response organization that basically responds to disasters. Organizes volunteers, trains volunteers, and then they respond when they are needed. And anyway, I ran into her. We started talking about some things, and we've known each other for a while. And through the course of time, maybe it's been longer than 3 months, but at least multiple times in the last 3 months. And I went to some of their trainings. I talked a little bit about a couple weeks back about a training that I did that was really pretty cool. And anyway, through the course of all that, Jordan has offered me a part-time job. And I accepted it. Now, what that looks like for Mountain Chapel at this point is doesn't really change much. It's right now it's 2 days a week. I'll be commuting, and my job will be organizing volunteers to be deployed on disasters. So I'll be organizing volunteers and then doing training and doing setting up. I actually don't really know my job yet, but I'm doing my best. I'm still trying to figure that out. But basically, get all these people ready. There's like 500 people they've trained over the last 4 years, and they're kind of scattered around. And so trying to get those people cohesive and ready to be sent, know who we've got, that kind of thing. Connect and organize the team. And while training more and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really cool thing. There's obviously a ton of stuff I'm not communicating to you right now. But it is really cool. It's really exciting for me. It's really exciting for us to begin to just kind of branch out in what I'm doing. And it's cool to be, just being totally honest, it's really cool to be pursued for what my skill set is. And it just feels like a really neat opportunity. I was supposed to start September 5th. But Hurricane Harvey. So anyway, I got a phone call on Friday, midday, and Jordan said, "Can you go to Texas on Tuesday?" And I said, "Tuesday's Shannon's birthday, so I'll ask her." And actually, they changed it, so we're going Wednesday. It wasn't for Shannon, but it was super convenient. And yeah, she made a few phone calls. Maybe she did. Oh, yeah. You're going Wednesday. But anyway, yeah, so I go on my first deployment on Wednesday. I have no idea what I'm doing. And so that's a blast. I'm really excited. It's hard to, it's not good to get excited about, you know, a tragedy. So I don't know what to do with that, but it is what it is. And so I'll be gone for 9 days. So there, that will be obviously, that will always obviously be something you all notice. But for the most part, it'll just be 2 days a week when and I probably will only do two or three of those a year. So it's not a whole lot of that being gone all the time and stuff like that. The office staff and Dave are going to kind of pick up some of that slack. And as I step away from some of that, the stuff of the daily operations of Mount Chapel and that kind of thing. But I'll still be here. We'll still be here. We're not going anywhere. We'll still be preaching and stuff like that. And so it's a really cool thing, but obviously needed to let you guys all know what's going on in my life and our life. And I'm really excited about the program itself. Is actually really, really cool in that it's something that I get to bring back here. And the more that I know what my job even is, the more I will tell you about it and get you guys up to speed on what's going on and all that stuff. But I feel like it's a neat opportunity, of course, for me, like I said, but I think it's a really neat opportunity for Mount Chapel to be on the ground floor of responding to people at the worst point in their whole life. And I'm sure most of you guys have seen the stuff that's going on in Texas. And we actually have people in Texas now. We have, you know, Evan and Ferris are there. As far as I know, they're a lot less affected. They're south. The storm hit, you know, kind of Corpus Christi and north, from what I understand. Lots of flooding, mostly just flooding. Some buildings collapsed, things like that. So what will we do? I think there's just 15 of us or so. And we'll just go and help. Operation Blessing, which is another big, big, huge ministry, will be there, and we're teaming up with them. And really, I don't have a whole bunch of information to give you. Most of the questions I'm putting in your mind right now, I don't have answers to. I will know a lot more in 2 weeks. You know, I'll come back, I'll tell you guys all about it, and I'll know a lot more about what my job would look like. And as it unfolds, obviously, I'll let you guys know. And feel free to ask me any questions or whatever. The answer might be, I just don't know. And so, the weeks, right, or the days right now, are going to be flexible. Monday to Wednesday, kind of fluid in there, a couple days a week that I'll be gone. But again, it won't really affect most of you guys. And, so that is what it is. But, so that's my news. I will find out. Yeah, thank you. Thanks. So I guess I get to find out over the course of time whether you guys heard me or not. What you heard, what you think you heard. Always fun. So, what I really want to do actually right now is just kind of pray. Shannon asked me last night, like, I can't remember the word you used. Was it anxious or probably? Are you anxious about? Because she was asking me all the questions that you guys are all probably wondering, like, well, what are you gonna do? I don't know. I'm gonna get on a plane on Wednesday, and I don't even know where I'm landing. I'm assuming it'll be on my ticket. What are you going to pack? I don't know. They're going to send me a list on Monday of things I'm supposed to bring. You know, all those things. And her question was, you know, do you feel anxious? Do you feel like, are you scared? He goes, like, no, I feel really at peace. And it feels like I'm in the right place. I'm walking through what God's putting in front of me. And I'm really excited to help. I'm really excited to, a picture of what it's going to look like, or even if it might not look like that. And I think, man, that feels like the right place to be. And I know that's not everybody's calling. And I know that what's amazing about God always gives us the grace for the season. I could not have pictured myself, I don't know how, you know, being at peace doing that. But it just, everything shifts and changes. And anyway, so I'm excited. I've got lots of peace. And it's going to be good. It's going to be a good thing. So there's a whole lot going on over there, as you guys know. Mostly it's flooding. So there's a whole bunch of people have lost everything. Very populated areas for hurricanes to hit cities. They got a lot of places got 40 inches of rain in like 2 days. And it's just crazy. So will you guys just stand up? We're just going to pray. We're going to end with just prayer over that place. And I would like to ask, I haven't had time to do anything like this, but I want to kind of try and organize prayer over any time I'm getting deployed or our team is getting deployed, where you guys are just covering us. We really don't know what we're doing. We're going to a place where there's, you know, the water and power and cell phones, and, you know, it's most likely that we'll be staying in a gym somewhere or something like that. And so just being covered in prayer, and then also just getting to connect people with people and serve people when they're at their worst is just it's just an honor. And so getting to be there, everything that I was talking about, communicate love to people that, you know, at the point they think they need a house, and all we can do is just serve them and love them. And so being at the right place at the right time, saying the right things at the right time, bringing prayer into that environment, just getting to be there and practically serve people. So we're leaving Wednesday. We come back 9 days later, whatever that date is. And just as you think about it, or maybe even, you know, set your cell phone or something to remind you to pray, I just would really appreciate that. But let's just pray right now. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing with just organizing volunteers already, like just reading about volunteers that are kind of descending down into the area in Texas and just beginning to take care of people and invest in people's care. And we just pray safety in that area as things, you know, the storm begins to clear, and there's just trauma everywhere, loss everywhere. And we just pray that the right people will be the right time. And I just pray for safety for myself and our team as we travel and as we serve, that you just keep us safe, that you meet our needs, keep us healthy. And we just pray for those divine encounters with the people that you brought us there for, that you brought us to love. And just work through us and keep us safe.